In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we heard today two gospel readings. The first speaks to us of the Annunciation, the very beginning of the Lord's earthly life. That moment in which he is conceived by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin, who says yes to the Lord's divine plan. This plan of salvation. This plan in which God becomes man and shares his teaching and works his miracles and reveals to us abundant life in himself. And then at the end of this earthly life, he goes to the cross. And we heard about this in the second gospel reading for the day. The Lord speaks about how he's going up to Jerusalem to be betrayed, to be rejected, to be crucified. And it's from that cross that he cries out, "It is finished." He has completed the work that he has come to do. So we see both the beginning of the Lord's earthly life and the end of his earthly life in these two readings. These two readings actually are beautifully illustrated on our royal doors. The royal doors lead into the altar, which symbolizes for us the next age, the kingdom of heaven. And these doors, this way into the kingdom, is opened by the Annunciation and opened by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our services, we make many entrances in through these royal doors. But before we make any entrance in through the royal doors, the priest will stop and he will say a special prayer. He says, "Blessed is the entrance of thy saints." He makes the sign of the cross and blesses the royal doors, blesses that entryway. And of course, the saints go the way of Christ. The saints enter into heaven through him, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The saints find their life in him. And of course, this is what we are called to do as well, brothers and sisters, to find our life in Christ. The Mother of God is the supreme example of this. She is the one who chose to follow the Lord's way better than anyone had ever done. She was the one who had that great humility to say, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Whatever it is that God wants, I will do it." And she was able to do this because of her humility. She had no script for her life. She had no agenda. She had no plans. She was a blank slate, ready for the word of God to be written upon her. We've been reading in our Lenten journey from the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs, there are many great sayings, words of advice that are given to us. One I'll share with you. And it says, "The ways of a man are all right in his own eyes, but they lead to death." The ways of a man are all right in his own eyes, but they lead to death. It's a very powerful message for us. That the ways of pride, when we self-direct ourselves, when we choose our own course, as Adam and Eve had done of old and their descendants after, and we participated, when we chart our own course, it ultimately leads to death. But if you were to take that verse in Proverbs, and you were to have the inverse of that, you would have something like this. The ways of God, although they might seem wrong in man's eyes, lead to life. The ways of God, although they might seem wrong in man's eyes, lead to life. And what does that actually speak to us about? But the cross. A willingness to lose our life so that we might find it. To die so that we might live. That doesn't seem right. Who wants that? And yet the mystery of salvation is accomplished precisely through that. Precisely the opposite way that we would always want to go, that we would always think is right. And that's why the job of the Christian is to cut out self-will, is to cut out pride, is to cut out everything that we think is right and become a blank slate so that the ways of God can be written upon us, so that we could follow His providence, so that we could enter the way of the saints, the way of Christ, into the kingdom. I want to share something, two things actually, that happened to me this past week. I turned 40 on Wednesday, and I want to share the advice that has been given to me actually many times by Father Daniel. And his advice to me has been, don't get old. Don't get old. Great is great advice. And I always follow up that advice with a question. Well, how? Tell me how to do it. And it was actually on my birthday that Father Daniel gave me the answer. And here's how he gave it to me. It was Wednesday, when we had a service in the evening. It was the canon of St. Andrew, the final time we served it in the Lenten season. And someone said there's a lot of snow that evening. Yes, there was. There was a whole lot of snow. The snow kept coming down, and it covered everything. And I didn't know who was going to come to service that night. But lo and behold, Father Daniel and Mata Skudunya walk in. And though they might be among the older people in the church, and most people would say, oh, they would never come, they would stay home, they came. They came that night because although it would be right to stay home in man's eyes, they believed it was right in God's eyes to go the way of the Lord, and they came. If you were looking down from heaven, you'd see the earth blanketed in white snow, a clean slate, and you'd see Father Daniel and Mata Skudunya's car driving like the finger of God to church, following the way of the Lord. So Father Daniel, Mata Skudunya, you didn't tell me how to stay young. At least not by your words, but you show it by your way of life. Because when we're with the Lord, when we're walking His way, we have life. And life is where we find youth. The Lord is the fountain of youth, the fountain of our life. The second thing that happened to me, I visited someone in the hospital who was preparing for open heart surgery. His name is Dimitri. He had the procedure. He's doing well. Thank you for your prayers. Please continue them. And I went in and I spoke with him for a little while. And he said, Father John, can I give you some advice? And I said, absolutely. Absolutely, please. And he said to me, I've lived a long life. I've been very blessed by God. But I want to tell you something. From the year 40 to the year 70, that stretch of years, time went by like that for me. He said, these are very important years in your life when you have your family at home with you. My kids are smiling at me and waiting. And I said to myself, yeah, you know, I know that. I know that. People told me that. I know that. He said, no, Father John, how old are you? You're a young guy. And I was thinking to myself, well, does he know when my birthday is? Does he know how old I'm turning? And I told him, I'm turning 40 on Wednesday. And then that advice seemed, again, more powerful. Like it was from God Himself. So I decided that evening that I was going to try something different for my years 40 to 70. I decided that I was going to, when my kids asked me to do something, I was going to say yes, no matter what they asked. Now, when I was driving home, I realized, well, that might not be the best thing to do. So I modified that a little bit. I said to myself, I'm going to actually start to do better what I've always tried to do. What I've tried to do is when the kids ask me to do something, I try to give them one answer. And what's the one answer that I give to you guys?
We'll see.
We'll see. And I get that answer because what I really want to do in my best days, my best moments, is I want to see what it is God would have us do. I want to find out what would be best in God's sight, what would be His way. And I have to be honest with you, many times, that's not what happens. I say we'll see, but it's really more like I'll see, depending upon what I feel like, what my plans are, what my agenda is. And then there's no room for God's plan, God's agenda. So we'll see really turns into I'll see. And of course, that goes against everything that the Mother of God shows us, who has no plans for her life other than to do what the Lord has for her. What Father Daniel and Mater Chedunia have exemplified in their own lives. And they've lived extraordinary lives together in Christ. Talk to them. Hear how God's providence has worked in their lives. And it also goes against everything that I've been called to preach in this church. When I first came here, Father Daniel told me, he said, this parish is a clean slate. I remember him saying that to me. He said he has not put his own stamp on this parish. He's not going to do that. It's a clean slate. And we've been trying to keep it clean, to not have our own agenda, to allow the Lord to dictate to us, to tell us what it is He wants us to do. This is His church. And brothers and sisters, we are His people. We are His creation. He made us for extraordinary things. He made us to enter into the kingdom of heaven, to follow His way, to be incorporated into His providence. And the one thing that holds us back are those ways that we think are right in our own eyes. Those ways that lead to death. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how much time we have left in this life. Who knows that? That's in God's hands. But I do know that we need to start making better use of the time He's given to us. To humble ourselves, to wipe ourselves clean, so that the Lord's imprint can be upon us. So that the Lord's blessing can be upon us. There's 2 weeks left till Pascha. There's 2 weeks left for us to be incorporated into this mystery of like the Mother of God saying yes to whatever the Lord has planned. Of like Christ Himself voluntarily dying so that He might give life. Let us be people who do make the most of what God has given to us. By not following our ways, but His ways. Which might not look right to us, but surely lead to life, and life more abundant. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.